What's going on over there?
Well, I just dropped the phone on my toes, threw a box across the room, and knocked over Emma's stash of water bottles on the computer desk.
Okay. I wasn't sure if there was, if something was, I don't know. I heard a bunch of creepy noises. It was like, like, what is happening over there? Okay.
All of the things are happening.
All of the things are happening.
And now okay. Riker.
So for this little mini bite-sized trick-or-treat episode, we are going to talk about Ouija boards. Dun, dun, dun. Now, I will say that I have never played a Ouija board. And I would say that you never played a Ouija board, but we just did an escape room yesterday, and that was part of that.
I know. I was just telling Emma, you know, I want to say when I was younger, I went over to a friend's house and she had one. I don't remember if we played with it or not. We might have, but... Ouija boards are bad. PSA from Riker, Ouija boards are bad. That's just something as I've gotten older, I'm like, I'm not going to fuck with that shit, man.
Yeah, especially since it's 2020. You don't. No, just don't. But I always thought it was funny because growing up, we always thought, don't touch a Ouija board. They're always bad. And like, you and I have always liked scary movies, liked scary things. I think we've both have played Bloody Mary. You know, we've done all that. But for whatever reason, right?
That's where, like, we draw the line.
Ouija boards, that's where you draw the line. Like, I think you have undertaken an underage drinking, but draw the line at Ouija boards. Right? But it always, like, kind of cracked me up that you could find a Ouija board at Toys R Us when there was a Toys R Us.
Right?
And it was, like, by Milton Bradley, right? Or, wait, was it Milton Bradley?
I honestly don't know. I think so. It's the same people who do Monopoly, right?
Yeah, but that's, it was like, crazy. It was like something about this, like, Ouija board where it was like witchcraft and you could bring the devil or demon inside your house, but it was by the same people that create toys that are at Toys R Us and make Monopoly and what? Hungry Hungry Hippo. So there's just like, probably not Hungry Hungry Hippo, but there is just this like weird, like, how are these the same people, and how is this like right next to all the other games like Uno and Scrabble? Like, it just is weird to me, and it just always kind of creeps me out. But for whatever reason, this, of all of the other things that they teach you about in school, like dare, don't do drugs, don't do this, don't do this, it was like, and then don't do the Ouija board. This is kind of where that fell for me.
Yeah.
So for those of you that don't know what a Ouija board is, Ouija boards have been around since the late 19th century when spiritualism, which is a movement in which people believe that the living could communicate with the dead, often through mediums, was popular in the United States, Britain, and Europe. Most Ouija boards are printed with a full alphabet, the numbers 1 through 9, yes and no in the corners, and then goodbye. Running along the bottom. Players sit around the board and rest the tips of their fingers on a teardrop-shaped planchette that slides across the board, spelling out words and giving answers to questions. The idea behind the Ouija board is that spirits of the dead will guide the planchette to deliver messages from the great beyond. If you ever use the board during middle school sleepovers, you're probably already well aware that usually it's Stephanie from 5th period or Jennifer from 3rd, who's really the guiding force behind the board's spooky revelations. But plenty of people will swear that they've already experienced the Ouija board working without their input. They insist that the board gave them information that they themselves didn't know. So how could they have guided the planchette? And I will have to admit that because when we were doing our escape room last night, Like, I think I was in the other room with, like, my partner, and you were, like, in the other room, and I came by, and I was like, what are you doing? And I saw you were doing the Ouija board, and I was like, oh my goodness, what are you doing?
I know, it was, like, a real, like, what is it, a conflict of whatever, but I saw it. It was, so I will say, it wasn't a real Ouija board. It was like the escape room knockoff version that they like just painted onto like the desktop.
Yeah.
But I did have to spell out demon. That was the answer. And I was like, of course. But like I found the Ouija board, and like I was like, guys, there's a Ouija board here. Guys, there's a Ouija board. And like no one else was in the room. And I was like, fuck, have I been separated? Is this what I get for having to do a Ouija board?
But yeah, and then like a pentagram would light up like every single time like you got the letter.
I'm like
we've made it this far in life without having to do a Ouija board, and it all comes down to an escape room and how competitive we are.
And we lost BTW, but we're going back on Thursday. So let's make it happen.
Yeah. Now we know. Okay, so I do have a few just mini, again, bite-sized Ouija board stories from BuzzFeed for you. So the first one is the handprint horror. When I was a kid, I played with a Ouija board with my friends. Everyone except me believed in spirits, so I kept asking the board to do more physical things, like tap my shoulder. The piece never moved, but suddenly my back started to sting. There were 3 handprints on my back, and they were red and puffy, like I had been slapped. I refused to touch that board again. Did you get any handprints on your back from yesterday from the escape room?
No, but my eyes burned today. That could be from my makeup that I slept in.
Dun, dun, dun. Because you haven't had to wear makeup since March.
You know, I was like, I'm going out tonight. I don't care that I'm wearing a mask. I'm going to put makeup on. I haven't curled my hair or worn makeup, and I can't even tell you how long. So it just was something that made me feel a little bit human.
Yeah. Well, I put like bobby pins in my hair, which was how I do my hair. And yeah. And we went out to eat beforehand, but we couldn't wait in the lobby, and it decided to be like 30 mile an hour winds for the 35 minutes that we had to wait outside. And we kept trying to stay in the lobby, and they're like, have we called you in yet? No. Okay, go stand back outside. I'm like, okay, I don't know how to be social anymore when we try to be social.
Well, you know, and it was funny though, because I got stuck in the line just trying to get in and be like, hey, my party's already inside, because I don't want to be the asshole who's like charging to the front of the line.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So then like people from behind are like, have you already been like helped requesting a seat? And I was like, no, my group's actually already seated. I just don't want to barge in and be rude. I don't know what the pandemic restaurant etiquette is. I haven't physically sat in a restaurant since March. Last night was the first time. So I don't know how things have changed.
I think we just need to start carrying like sticks. Like you have a stick now for your kids that says leave me alone or you can ask me a question now. So I think when you go to a restaurant and everyone's standing 6 feet away, that you can be like, my table has been seated, let me through. Or like, I don't know. I think that's what we have to just start having, holding signs now that tell people our intentions. Like, it's like all these rando nautica for restaurants.
Yeah, like all of these people started just like barging in like past me, and I was like, where are you coming from and where are you going? Because all of us assholes are standing out here in the wind and you just like barge in.
Yeah. Follow the dots. Everything has become a giant fucking cakewalk. Just stand on your dots.
Right? Stand on your dot.
Get on your, get on your dot. Okay, moving on. My brother's friend played with one at his house, and all hell broke loose. There, my family would see pennies and marbles being thrown down the hallway. One day, his family was doing yard work and saw a dog. And when she called the dog, she said that it suddenly had an old man's face. Things got so awful, they had to call a priest to do an emergency exorcism. To this day, they still see black shadow figures follow them.
That's weird.
I got my board after months of harmless paranormal activity in my house. When I contacted something, the planchette started doing figure eights across the board, which is a huge no-no. That means something demonic was present. I didn't touch it for months. When I tried again, I asked where the spirit was in the room. My vision went spotty. I saw a vivid image of my head jerking back, and the words, "with you," were whispered into my ear by something I couldn't see. I sold the board.
Oh my god.
That would be creepy. But then it's like, okay, well, what happened after that? And like, so you sold it? I mean, I know you're not supposed to like burn it, right?
Right.
Because I think that makes it worse. But so you just like sell it.
Some kind of like social etiquette that you have to like. Would it be social etiquette? I'm probably using the wrong words. But I think there is some like Ouija board etiquette that you are supposed to follow.
And it's here. Board. Take this, it may be possessed. When I was 15, my grandma asked me to use a board to contact my uncle who had died at birth. At first, it seemed we were talking to my uncle, but as time went on, the personality of my uncle changed. He got mean and possessive, and finally the spirit told me that it had my uncle and was coming for me. I blacked out for a full minute. When I came to, the light bulbs in the kitchen had popped and there was glass everywhere. We never played again.
Jeez. But like, okay, I just have questions, because if the uncle like died at birth and his personality changed, maybe that was his personality. He'd be nice and then not nice.
Well, I'm kind of wondering, like, what kind of personality did he have when he was a baby? I mean, I get that they're probably like, at first the spirit was nice and then it was mean, but I'm kind of like, how do they know it was the uncle's personality to begin with?
Exactly. Like, maybe he was a dick. Maybe he got off on being nice and then a giant dick.
One summer, my friends and I met the spirit of a boy named Jake through my board, and my friends kept antagonizing him to prove he was real. We were in the basement when the board said to go to my room. There we found crayons had been knocked over onto my floor, and a notebook on my bed opened up with the name Jake scrawled out in big letters. All of us had been together in the basement the entire time, and no one else was home. Our friend said we need to break the board into pieces and stop the evil. So we did. That would have been me. Stop the evil, guys. In like my Goonies voice. This is our time. Our time down here. Stop the evil. And then pull out my inhaler.
Oh, dang, I was going to say something and I can't remember. Dang it, it was going to be funny too, I think.
Probably not.
Probably. It is. I have to remind you about that.
When my son was in fourth grade, he came home from school saying he played with a Ouija board at recess. The fuck? Anyway. And that he and his friends talked to a 13-year-old boy who was alive during the Civil War. I didn't make it a big deal out of it until a few days later when they played again and said that the spirit was telling my son and his friends that they should join him and they could all be friends. I had to be mean mom and call the school to put a stop to it. I mean, I would have been pissed too. Like, why are you playing a Ouija board at recess?
Yeah.
Where are your recess monitors? If they're not doing what they should be doing.
I worked at a haunted movie theater, and my coworkers and I thought it'd be fun to use a board in the building. We went to one booth where most of the activity had been happening, and a bunch of different spirits kept interrupting one another. The board gave us 9 different names. One more malicious spirit called itself RD and kept telling us to go away, moving around in figure eights. For a few minutes before one of the candles tipped over, weird things kept happening at the theater until the day I quit.
Ooh.
Okay, I have one more. I was playing with my little brother on Halloween night when we were about 9 and 12. The board ended up spelling out a man's name and then my mother's. I asked my mom about it and her face went pale. She wouldn't tell me who the guy was.
Ooh. That's creepy.
Ooh, inquiring minds want to know.
What is your mother's deep dark secret? Oh, man.
Okay, fine. I'll give you one more treat just because it's Halloween.
Okay, fine.
Just one more.
Okay.
When I was 13, my friends and I decided to play with a board. Of course, as I was a boy crazy teen, I asked who I was going to marry, and it told me WTC3. I didn't think anything about it until 3 years later when I met the man who is now my husband. His initials are WTC, and he is the third. No one ever believes me when I tell them, but it's true.
That is so freaking random. Like, I just would be like, why? Why would I make this up? Like,
I know.
What?
And I feel like that's like really specific too.
It's like so specific. Emma's just staring at me like, I can't believe you just said, like, oh my god, that is like so specific. Totally.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed this little trick or treat of why are you so scared? And we'll talk at you next time. Bye.
Bye.